So, Joanne, Max is in the closet. You've got him in the closet for 10 years.
He's in the closet, yes.
And then he starts coming out again.
Well, he kept telling me to find this particular person. So in June of 1987, here's where all the synchronicities start.
Okay.
In June of 1987, I turn on a TV show, Good Morning Houston. There's another skull looking at me. And all I could say, it could have been a different hour, a different day, a different minute, and he might still be in the box in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
And this other skull's looking at me. So all I could think is, oh, my gosh, another talking rock. So I go call the station, and I wasn't going to tell him about my talking rock.
It's Max's brother, right?
That's, I guess it was. I thought if there was more, they were all supposed to look alike, and if they, you know, this didn't look like mine. So I called him and said, would you have those people call me? I have something that looks like that, but it's not like that. So they called back, and they started laughing. They said, no, lady, these are museum pieces. You probably got plastic or glass. This is before the museums found out that what they had were contemporary. He said, you've got plastic or glass. Said, well, it was given to me by a monk, and it came from Central America. Because, see, Max came from Guatemala, but it's no telling where he actually originated.
Exactly.
From.
He may have ended up there.
Right. These were not actually Mayan, Aztec, or Native American artifacts. They are pre. They're not Aztec or Native American and never have been. Mayans did not create and wouldn't use some crystal, so these go pre. So I told him, I said, he came from there, so it will be right there. So they come out, I pull the poor old skull, at that time skull, out of the box, and they started laughing at each other and poking each other. They just said, look what she's got in a box in the closet. And they looked at me and said, you don't know what you have, do you? I said, well, if I didn't, I wouldn't have called you, would I? He said, well, these are so rare, and we don't know much about them, how they're made. He said, but you really got a rare one, and I didn't know what they were talking about. He said, but there's no researchers, so we said, take it to the Houston Museum. So I boxed him back up, and the next day I took him to the Houston Museum. They opened up the box, and they said, oh, yeah, you got something rare there. I heard that yesterday. He said, but you got something real rare. He said, we don't know how they're made, where they come from, or even any researchers. He said, let's put it on display.
How do they know they're rare? Like
because
that.
There was only a few of them
found.
So, and then they didn't particularly know how they were made. But they said, you have a real rare one. And I had no idea what they were talking about. So I said, no, you know, you don't know what he is, and I don't know what he is. I said, it don't seem quite right yet to put him on display. So I boxed him back up. I brought him back home. I opened up the closet. I put him back in there, opened up the box, and I patted him on the head. And I said, well, one of these days, Skull, I'll find this man you're looking for. And then just psychically in my head, loudly and clear, he said, by the way, my name is not Skull. My name is Max. I jumped up and I looked at him. I said, holy moly, I got a rock in a box in the closet. He has a name. And I could hear him say, you have to call that station back. And I kept arguing. I said, no, I'm going to put you downstairs in the other closet. But he says, but I'll find you there. So I said, I knew you'd say that. I called the station back. I said, well, I didn't learn anything newer at the museum than I learned from you. So they said, we'll give you the name of one more man. That was Mr. F.R. Nick Nocerino of Northern California. So I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. So I called him, and I said, Mr. Nocerino, but he said, what? I said, uh-oh, he sounds pretty grouchy. Never mind, forget it. I didn't have nothing to say. But he said, no, you call me for something. And I says, no, never mind. He says, no, he says, don't hang up. What did you call me for? I really didn't want to tell him.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, I got this crystal skull. And I said, I was looking around. There's nobody here in my house. I said, I got this crystal skull, but he got quiet. He said, you got what? I said, never mind, forget it. You think I'm nuts. Never mind. He says, oh, no, don't hang up. Describe it. And I thought, describe it? I said, it's a rock with a face on it. And he says, no, describe it. And I looked at him. I said, it's a rock with a face on it. And I said, it's got two hollow eyes, and I said, a hollow nose, a bunch of teeth, no hair, and it's got this white cap on the side of its head. It's got a bar mitzvah hat on the side of its head. He said, you got the skull with a white cap? And I looked at
him. He knew this?
Yeah. I said, it looked like a white hat to me. He says, but then he got louder. You got the skull with the white cap? And all I could think, oh, God, the man's deaf. After 7 years, after 10 years, he's here on the phone right here, and he can't even hear me. And I screamed in the phone, yes, I have the skull with the white hat. But then he hollered, don't holler, you're going to make me deaf. I said, well, I've been looking for you for 10 years. I thought you was deaf. You kept asking me over and over. He says, no, but you're going to make me deaf. Don't hang up. And when we convinced each other that we were not going to hang up, he said, yes, he said, I know what you have. He said, I have been looking for that skull since 1949.
How did he even know it existed?
Nick Nocerino turned out to be the world's foremost expert on these crystal skulls. And he was the founder and the director of the Society of Crystal Skulls International. And that was a research educational organization that he founded in 1944 in California and in 1945 in the state of
New Somewhere, York. Joanne, in antiquity, they must have something either written down or etched or something that explains how many they have and what they look like, I guess, huh?
Well, no, Serena knew about this skull because he was a paranormal researcher. He also worked for the CIA. Don't ask me how I got all involved with with CIAs and monks and agents and DEA agents. And he was a paranormal researcher. He studied in 52 countries on the applications of crystals and crystal skulls. Not just that, but the applications of crystals.
So he knew it existed. He didn't know where it was.
He didn't know where it was. It was in my box in the closet.
All right.
So I could hear Max say, "Thank God, woman, you finally found this person that I've been telling you about. I can get out and do my work." He said, "I thought you'd die before I'd ever get out of this box." So he says, "No, you're going to stay right there." Well, then I heard about the legend. And, of course, the legend states there are 13 authentic ancient crystal skulls, the size of human skulls, and that one day they would all be rediscovered and brought together for their collective wisdom to be made available. But mankind first has to be sufficiently evolved, both morally and spiritually, so as not to abuse this great power and knowledge. It's supposed to have been handed down over thousands of years.
Do you believe all these skulls were made at the same time in the same spot, perhaps?
Well, however, is the legend true? Actually, you have to look at it. It is a legend, like the legendary Atlantis.
Of course.
You listen, a person listens to a legend. And I feel you take from that legend what you can feel is your truth, and then you go with it. So this is a legend. However, I believe that Mr. Nocerino, the legends, legends always have a start somewhere. There's many, many thousands of myths of legends that go back to the beginning of time.
All right, but there are 13 known crystal skulls right now, right?
No.
There's more?
No. Actually, there are many, many crystal skulls scattered all over the world. But these are contemporary skulls. They come out of Mexico, Germany, Hong Kong, China, Peru, Brazil.
Okay.
And they are contemporary.
All right. And we'll get into why the Smithsonian thinks yours is contemporary, too.
Right.
Sort of.
We'll go into that,
all right,
too. But no, unless they're researched properly, I've seen some of these skulls come out of Mexico and China, where they're beat up and chipped up and dirt rubbed in them. You'd think they're a million years old. They were just produced.
Do they look like glass? How are they made?
Well, your contemporary skulls are made, most of them come out of China and Brazil. Now, they're made with new modern lapidary equipment, diamond tools, Dremel tools. You can feel the sharpness on them.
Yeah.
They're modernly made.